G.K. Chesterton, in his book The Everlasting Man, said, "A dead thing can go with a stream, but only a living thing can go against it." Elijah, feeling the weight of the office of prophet, finds himself in a state of despair at his inability to turn the people from the sinful tides of their actions back towards the will of God. In his perceived defeat, he wanders into the desert and prays for death. Elijah, this man of God, this prophet with whom God is well pleased, sees himself as a failure in the vocation God had given him. The profound sense of shame and confusion must have been overwhelming for him to pray the prayer of death. "This is enough, O Lord. Take my life, for I am no better than my father's," which we know was unheeded, rather redirected in a mysterious and divine interchange with an angel who brought him heavenly food, and who in their second visit commands him to get up and eat, else the journey will be a long one for you. He got up, ate and drank, then strengthened by the food, he walked 40 days and 40 nights to the mountain of God called Horeb. A dead thing can go with a stream, but only a living thing can go against it. This story about Elijah quickly brings to mind the reality for many of us. We know in faith that God places us in certain situations and relationships for a reason. God calls us to a life, to be lived out in discipleship, faithfully and fruitfully, to a particular vocation rooted in Christ Jesus. Although joy is a predominant sentiment in a life of faith, times of despair, disillusionment, and a feeling of absolute and total failure can set in. A feeling that makes us somewhat like Elijah, saying, "This is enough, O Lord." Recently, I have been acutely aware of the great work and energy it takes to be a parent, the great responsibility that is assumed on a day a child is conceived, the day they're born, the day they walk, the day they talk, those days they go through puberty, on to a young adulthood, into marriage or a religious vocation. The energy that it takes to garner new skill sets, to be determined, to set your vision and be persistent in your parenting can be exhausting. All one has to do is turn on the TV, boot up the computer, tune into satellite radio, or read the magazines in Kmart, Walmart, Food Pyramid, etc., in the checkout lines to see and hear the predominant secular voices that are schooling in each and every one of us in a message not always congruent with that of the gospel. Messages about popularity and worth, rooted in how much stuff we have. Messages that teach us we need to let our schedules rule us versus us ruling our schedules, seeking a balanced life. Messages that tell us that our relationship with God is a private one that does not necessarily need a Eucharistic community to support and challenge it. Messages, and more messages that over time wear down our moral and religious edge until we become worn out and run down, settling for mediocrity and lower expectations for ourselves and those who are charged to our care. I have been reflecting back on my own childhood to the times that I would nag and pick at my parents until I got what I wanted. Although I must say I was a pretty good nagger and a picker, I didn't always win. Parents, I can't imagine the pressure you feel at times when your children want to do as they wish, but you know better. They want to run free, but you see the dangers ahead. They want to take on just one more activity, but you want them to have a balanced life. They want to hang out with a certain group of people, but your gut tells you they have a sketchy character. I can't imagine the pressures you feel when your kids think you are stupid, when you make them share a common meal with the family, or make them go to church on Sundays, or religious education, or a youth group. I can't imagine the anxiety you must feel at times thinking about all the things kids can get into. Drugs, binge drinking, casual sex, reckless driving, and the list could go on and on. Please don't hear me making kids out to be bad or only a challenge, but please do hear me saying, I recognize the great pressures that are upon you as you strive to raise up the next generation of our society to be a generation rooted in faith and mindful of the needs of others. The pressures placed upon you sometimes boils down to the misconstructed understanding of freedom. A freedom that the late Bishop Fulton J. Sheen speaks well about in his book, Children and Parents. He says, he who gives freedom takes a risk, but it must be taken. There are two extreme errors, one of too little freedom and the other of too much. It seems to me the way to parent is by parenting on your knees. Sheen goes on to say, the peak of moral authority is reflected in the attitude of the parent who says, I ask for your obedience because I am responsible before God for you. Listen once again. I am responsible before God for you. Where there is love, there is obedience. Where there is obedience, there is discovery of the secrets of happiness. How can we expect our young people to fall in love with Christ, to fall in love with our church, to desire to model and live out their lives in obedience to the faith we profess, if we as adults, as those leaders who are entrusted to their care, don't first make it a priority in our own lives? This priority must extend beyond Sunday Mass. It must extend beyond the casual meal prayer. It must extend beyond the casual Hail Mary and the Our Father uttered here and there. It is a priority rooted in Christ that must take precedence over and above all of our lives, a priority from which all priorities are prioritized. My dear friends, if we don't solidify ourselves and our identity as Christians, I mean really solidify ourselves, authentically and consistently living the faith we profess both in word and deed, being obedient to Christ and His church, we will lose a whole generation of followers. For they will see in our non-committal and lackadaisical tendencies and follow suit, going their own way. Yes, the momentum of secularized America is strong, but as Chesterton said, a dead thing can go with the stream pretty easily, but only a living thing can go against it. And our faith, my friends, is alive and stronger than any current we may face in our lives. Let us take comfort. For Jesus faced the same opposition that we do. He was trying to convince the Jews that the long-awaited Messiah had arrived by telling them, I am the bread of life that came down from heaven. Yet, with their worldly hearts, they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph? Do we not know his father and mother? How can he say, I have come down from heaven? Yet, in the face of the doubting crowd, in the face of a resisting current, Jesus was obedient to his mission. He was obedient to God in carrying out his vocation to bring salvation to the world by living fully in his body, by suffering, dying, rising again, giving us his body and blood as spiritual food. My dear friends, we are not alone in our attempt to model and shape our families, our community, our city, state, and world into living witnesses of the bread come down from heaven, Jesus Christ. We, my friends, are so fortunate to have this community of faith, to draw strength in numbers, to hold each other up in our call to discipleship, so that we don't despair like Elijah. We, my friends, are given the bread from heaven, so that like Elijah, we may arise from the challenging situations that confront us, bringing both ourselves and others joyfully up the stream of salvation. For we are not dead. We are the living presence of Christ in our world.